This last week, we've been in our early morning prayer time at 6 o'clock. We've been reading through Hosea, the prophet Hosea. And this is just a magnificent story in the Old Testament, a challenging one, where Hosea is told by God to marry a prostitute, a woman who's giving herself over to other men. And the anguish that this creates in Hosea's heart over this unfaithful wife and her rebellion, and yet he's to stay faithful to her. He's to be learning to love Gomer as God loves us. And it's quite a challenge, a powerful story to reveal God's love for us, actually, that even in our rebellion, our rejection, our disobedience, he goes on pursuing us. And in the end, Gomer ends up a bit like the prodigal son in a pigsty, virtually. She's in the slave market being sold, a worthless, bedraggled woman of no value really to anyone, and they're trying to get some sort of price for her. And Hosea puts up his hand at the end and offers 15 shekels of silver, which is virtually his whole wealth, for her. And everybody turns around and goes, what? You, the whole lot for her? This is revealing God's love for us, you see. We're worthless. We're absolutely bound in our sin, and he gives everything he has to buy us back, his son, the Lord Jesus. It's a powerful story, Hosea. And I've been pondering a verse in chapter 7, and this isn't quite exactly what I had prepared this morning, but it's coming out as I'm reflecting on it, because in chapter 7 of Hosea, we've got this incredible statement by God that he's longing to redeem his people. He's longing to absolutely rescue them out of their fallenness, bondage, pain, hurt, all the rest of it. He's just longing to do it. And we read in verse 13, woe to them, he says, for they've strayed from me. Destruction to them, for they've rebelled against me. I would redeem them. But they speak lies against me. And the lie that's being spoken is, God can't save me. I'm too far gone. Or God's not good, he's not going to do anything. Now, this is all relevant to the story that you heard today from the Bible about a woman in a town who had a flow of blood for 12 years. And I want you to really start to ponder this, what it really meant for this woman to have this flow of blood for 12 years. She could have felt so absolutely hopeless. And no doubt many people were thinking she was hopeless, even cursed, according to the scriptures. Passages in Deuteronomy 28 that tell, you know, if you don't obey, then these curses will come upon you. You'll be sick and you'll get, you know, so stuck, cursed. Absolutely, and yet she believed. She believed. And this is what God is saying in Hosea. He is wanting his people to believe that he can rescue them. And he says there, but they don't cry to me from their heart because they don't believe I can rescue them. And you see, here in this story that we had today, this woman shines out in the scriptures as one like Hannah in the Old Testament who believed that Jesus could save her. Jesus could transform her life. No matter how broken, messed up, cursed it is, Jesus can save her. Now, you know, one of the great dilemmas we have today in our world is the question of power. It's on the lips of everyone all over the world. Where is the power going to come from to sustain the life of this world? That's a big question. It's causing governments to spend millions of dollars rearranging their power supplies, and power is the issue. It's really interesting. And I asked the children the question, where does power come from? And one of them immediately said, God. That's one thing the world is not considering, is it? The question of the source of power which maintains our lives in this world. Power generation from fossil fuels has been challenged, while solar power, wind turbine power, hydro power, even wave power are being explored to provide the power for people to keep living in this world. That's what's happening. And we're spending so much of our time and energies on this question. And every day, we, all of us, rely on power sources that are hidden from us. We can't see them. We turn on the light switch. Why do you do that? Why do you turn on the switch? Because you believe there's a power source somewhere that's going to turn the light on. Well, it goes on and on and on. We turn on light switches, computers, microwave ovens, heaters, coolers, televisions, mobile phones. We plug them into recharging systems because we believe there is power somewhere that's going to resource this instrument. You know, just last week I was called by Monash Medical Centre. Actually, it was the chaplain coordinator at Kingston, because the chaplain coordinator at Monash was on leave. A young man of 16 years of age, perfectly well and healthy, in 24 hours, died. 16 years of age. Suddenly couldn't pass his bowels, and then his family were distressed. He got sepsis, he got breakdown of his organs and unit. He was rushed to hospital and he died, 16 years of age. I went across there, and in the room there's about 12 or 15 people, absolutely bereft at this young man, Levi, who was gone. All the tools and medical technology empowered by earthly power sources couldn't keep this young man alive. Why? Because the power to live comes from God. You and I are kept here at this very moment by God and his power. And I read to that family from Psalm 139, every day appointed for you in this world is written in God's book. He knows exactly when you're going to die. Amazing. Power. Power is needed. It's so important. Every day we can so easily take this for granted, particularly when we live in a comfortable, technologically advanced community. Yet even in our society, many people are struggling to find the power to live abundant lives. They're going to all kinds of sources to get resuscitation, inspiration, help. But there's one source where you and I can get the most incredible power to live our lives. We've been looking at Matthew's gospel, and Matthew particularly as a writer in the New Testament focuses on the kingdom of God, and it's because Matthew, the tax collector, remember, he was at a table, he was resourced by all the things of this world, empowering him to live his life, money and all the rest of it. And Jesus came along, this man with one set of clothes, preaching about another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew abandoned the kingdom of this world to join Jesus and his kingdom, and he discovered life. abundantly. And so his focus in his gospel is to focus on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the king of this kingdom. That's his focus. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, we have it early in his gospel. And he starts off with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's available to you. So if you're feeling today a bit weak and run out and drained, Matthew is telling you there's another kingdom. You can connect to it and it will resource you in your weakness. That's basically what he's saying. And all through the gospel, he focuses on Jesus, the king of this kingdom. He's discovered him. And so when we read the story of the woman with the flow of blood, you don't get the full story that Luke tells you about all the detail, because Matthew's just focusing on this king has a kingdom and it's powerful and it releases life into the world. That's basically how quick he goes, boom, 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 just like that. Because power comes from this kingdom. Jesus was ministering there to people in Israel, and crowds of people were gathered to him because they sensed there's a power source here. People were being healed. Demons were being cast out. Incredible things were taking place because there's power from this kingdom. And in fact, Luke tells us, and all the crowd sought to touch him. This is in Luke 6. For power came out from him and healed them. And this reality of power coming from Jesus was attracting people and stirring up the crowds to gather to him. But at the same time, it was stirring up antagonism against Jesus, because the power of another kingdom had come into this world that is ruled by Satan and the kingdom of darkness. And that's why you've got such conflict between religious leaders and all sorts of people who are trying to remain attached to this world. The power of another kingdom has broken into this world and was calling into question the world's true condition. And everybody wants to tell you, oh, the world is going to go on. We've got to, you know, save the world and do that. The world is going to come to an end, friends. Jesus is returning. And I hope we get ourselves ready. And we're going to need power from that kingdom to be ready. We're going to need power. Remember the story of the 10 virgins in Jesus' account? He said there were 10 virgins, so they were righteous people. But 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them didn't have the power to survive the darkness that was coming on the world. And they missed Jesus. And 5 of them were wise because they had oil for their lamps. And oil was the source of the power. Jesus is talking about a power source. You need it. Every one of us. This power source. One of the children said the Holy Spirit. Exactly. They hit it right on the oil in the lamp. The Holy Spirit. The power source from Jesus. What did he say to the disciples after he rose from the dead? Stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus does not expect us to mumble along and fumble along with our lives. He wants to empower us every single day. He wants to give you power to live. We are to live an abundant life. Well, while he was alive here on earth, the message was spreading all through Israel. Another power source has come. And people were feeling the oppression of the world they were living in. The Roman Empire was pretty harsh. And its power was being exchanged. Many people were saying, I've had enough of this kingdom. I want Jesus. I want the power that comes from his kingdom. Because actually it's full of love. The power of love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Well, Matthew's seeking to present this picture of the kingdom of God. And just recently we've seen how Jesus had power to forgive sins. Remember, he said that you might know that the Son of Man has authority or power to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralytic, rise and walk. And you and I need this so much to know, because we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all get it wrong. We prefer to accuse other people instead of recognizing, just like Adam and Eve, the problem is here, not there. But Jesus has authority and power to forgive sins. And the woman that we're looking at today with a flow of blood could well have assumed in her life that she was riddled with sin. And the effect of what was happening to her was a result of sin. And at some point it is, whether it was the sins of fathers or generations before her or the sins of this world, sin has brought corruption. But Jesus has authority, power to forgive sins. That's why Jesus said two men went up to a temple to pray, you know. Pharisee stood up, oh, I'm glad I'm not like other people, like this rotten sinner over here. Jesus said he prayed to himself. But the tax collector, who wouldn't even lay his, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've said the wrong things, I've done the wrong things, I've mucked up. Jesus said that man connected to heaven and went home justified. He went home free, forgiven, cleansed, and with the power of heaven in his heart. Well, as Jesus continues this ministry after having declared his power to forgive sins, many people gather around him. Now, I think Sol said, we got some pictures, I think, there to do with this. Maybe we just go to the first one. Okay, the title of this message is, Are You Touching Jesus? Are you touching Jesus? Not just once. Are you regularly touching Jesus? Because he will know if you're touching him. Power goes out from him when we touch him. Now, keep going. Zos, what have we got there? This woman was this discharge of blood for 12 years. Now, the scriptures tell us if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, this is Leviticus 15, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge, she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be as the bed of her impurity, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash her clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So this woman is suffering not for 12 days or 12 weeks or 12 months, 12 years of banishment. Now, at times we get lonely, don't we? We feel isolated from people. And loneliness is one of the most serious sicknesses of this world. Loneliness creates depression and a sense of disconnection and despair. And many people end up taking their lives because they're in loneliness. This woman had 12 years of this. She's been desperate to get out of this state. As the other gospel writers tell us, She had been to many doctors and spent everything she had, but nothing has brought her any relief. Now, friends, we are blessed to have wonderful medical facilities in our nation, wonderful medical care. But there are some things doctors cannot do. Right, Andrew William? I was talking to him this week. He's doing a placement over here in his medical training. Doctors cannot heal. They can prescribe medications. They can do all sorts of things. They can do operations. But they can't heal you. Only God can heal you. He controls the healing part. He is the healer. And this woman has suffered for 12. She's been to many doctors and they have been unable to do anything. And often when that is the case, there is usually some spiritual element connected to this trouble the person is in. And that might be you. And you might despair, as this woman no doubt was tempted to despair. I'm sure many times she had despaired, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians, of life itself. Her personal isolation from the community due to her condition left her lonely, depressed, questioning her worth and her future. Somehow, she kept hope alive as she persisted with medical intervention. She didn't give up. Somewhere there's someone who can help me. But she'd run out of money. She had no resources left. She couldn't pay anybody. And then she heard about Jesus. Dear friends, today, I hope you are hearing in this service about Jesus. He is as alive today as he was when he walked on earth and this woman reached out and touched him with her hand through a crowd. Jesus is as alive right now. And in fact, he's already won a victory for you and me on a cross, and he is waiting for you to touch him. He's waiting for you to touch him. Somehow she kept hope. But was she cursed? You know, I read in Deuteronomy, if you're not careful to do all the words of this law written in the book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. There's the curse. And the lovely thing about this story is that Jesus can break every curse. Every single curse, whether it's come down through Masonic influences or whatever it is, Jesus has power to break every curse. You just need to touch him. Because he became a curse for us. He has removed every curse. He has broken every power of evil against you and me, if we would believe. If you would believe this, if you would have, like this woman, the persistence of reaching out to him, you will discover power coming forth to you. To break every curse, to forgive every sin, to cleanse you from every impurity and corruption, and to give you life abundantly. Sos, there's some pictures, I think, after the one that you showed me, the woman. Just before that, what's the one before that? I've forgotten. Yeah, she said to herself, in a desperate state, if only I touch his garment, I'll be made well. If only I get close enough to Jesus to touch him, the power will come to me. Now, if ever there was a person who could be expected to give up with a sense of hopelessness, loneliness, her desperate need, this is the woman. But now she says, I'm going to get to Jesus. And she hears Jesus is coming to her town. She puts all her hope in him. All her hope is in Jesus. Despite everything that tells her she's not worthy, she's cursed, the crowd will never let her get near her enough. You know, there's great crowds of people gathering around Jesus. Her body won't cope going out there in the voice of the adversary, you know, the devil who tells us over and over again, you're hopeless, you're pathetic, it's no good for you. You never heard these things? Well, he's constantly telling people this. This woman sets out, struggling through the street. People withdraw from her. Oh, it's the woman who's unclean. But the crowd surrounding Jesus is unaware, you know, but they're packing in around him like a fortress. So how does she get to him? She's got to get down low and go through their feet. And she struggles through the feet of these people and reaches out and touches him. Just a brief touch. That's all. But Jesus knows immediately. What does he say? Who was it who touched me? I mean, there are people shoulder to shoulder with him. And this woman's just at the fringe of his garment. But he knew someone had touched him. Someone had come with real faith in who he is, in what he can do, and had made that through just touching the fringe of his garment. And he knew it. This morning in this church, right now, Jesus knows if you're touching him. Right now, when you go to pray in the mornings, Jesus knows if you touch him. He knows if you're going to press through the unbelief, the oppression, the darkness and everything else. He knows if you touch him, there will be power. Power will go forth to you. And he'll know it. He hasn't changed. He's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. This story is for you and me. He stops. Who touched me? Peter says, Master, the crowds surround you, pressing in on you. Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me to that person. And that's the reality. When you truly touch Jesus, power comes to you. What's the next picture? When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, declared in the presence of the people why she had touched him and how she'd been immediately healed. The power of Jesus is real. But you know, you and I can be disconnected from him, can't we? We can be harboring unforgiveness in our hearts towards somebody else. We can be accusing someone. You cannot touch Jesus. You cannot get through to Jesus while you are holding something on someone else. You are creating a barrier between you and him. The electricity connection is not made. Jesus says, when you pray, forgive. If anyone has done anything against you, forgive. Because I want to connect with you. I want the power of my kingdom to come through into your heart. I love the story of Nikim. there she is, 40 days, you know, in being told she's brain dead in hospital in Adelaide. And her sisters realise that there's something cutting them off from each other as they're praying, don't they? And they start dealing with their jealousies and their criticisms and their judgments. And they start to pray and there's a connection because they touch Jesus. Friends, let God search your heart. He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to get rid of the unforgiveness, the criticisms, the judgments, all the things that are hindering your connecting with him and the power coming forth. Jesus wants us every day of our lives to connect with him. And there's a battle in this world. The enemy is fighting us. We have to have a determination, like the woman, a determination that says, I'm putting everything aside, all of the if and buts. The crowd's too big. It's too hard. You're too sick. You'll never make it. She puts it all aside. She has one focus and she is going to get to Jesus. Is that how you feel on a Sunday morning? You're going to get to Jesus. Well, God wants us. He desperately wants us to make connection. Because there is power. Power to live. Power to be healed, set free from all the things that have corrupted our hearts and lives. Curses, sins, everything. Jesus shed his blood on a cross so we could be free. And we can connect with Jesus. You know, the lovely thing here, this beautiful picture. Jesus responds to this woman by saying, daughter, remember, she's been isolated 12 years. And she's now just told, daughter, you're in my family. Can you imagine the effect of these words on her heart? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. This woman is completely transformed by Jesus. What's the next slideshow? Instantly the woman was made well. She's just worshipping God. She's just loving Jesus Christ. And you can't love Jesus until you know how much he loves you. And you'll never know that until you touch him. Until you reach out to him and believe he came to set you free from your sins, from the corruption in your heart and life, from curses that might have come upon you. He came to set you free. And he wants you and me to touch him. Well, as we said to the children, there are ways to do this, aren't there? I think the slide, prayer, reading the scriptures. You know, as I was reading Hosea at 6, well, just after 6 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, wow, look at those words, Lord. Incredible. They do not cry to me from the heart, but they wail upon their beds. Very easy to do. We grumble, we complain, poor me, instead of crying to Jesus from our heart. The word of God is powerful. And then, you know, meeting with others who love Jesus. I was saying to Kerry just the other day, when we were raising 5 children, I knew as the minister of this church, if I did not meet every week with a group of men who would challenge me, who would encourage me, who would join with me to seek Jesus, I couldn't lead this church. Do you know that you can't really impart all that God wants you to impart to your family, to your wife, to your children, unless you are connecting to Him? And you need to be meeting with others, as well as praying yourself, as well as reading your Bible, meeting with others and sharing and testifying to the wonders of what He does. And the faith that rises in that atmosphere strengthens you, because the power of God is flowing to you in that time. But thanksgiving is so important. You know, we live in a nation full of grumblers when we have so much abundance. Thanksgiving, as it says in the scriptures, we enter His gates with thanksgiving. It's so important to give thanks. That's why in the New Testament, Paul is telling us over and over again, in everything give thanks, because we enter His presence and we can connect with the living God. Enter His courts with praise. Sing. If you struggle to sing, put on your little device some praise music and see what happens. Whether you're travelling in the car. I remember when we had five kids, it was great to have five kids. We had children's songs playing all the time. We used to sing them with them. If I come to Jesus, He will make me glad. He will give me power, not pleasure, when the heart is sad. Praise. But then finally, it's with all your heart. Are our hearts divided? Are there other things that take us away? Interests, all kinds of things, even things that are very good, family. You know, I had a wife and five children. They're my family. But I need Jesus more. What are the things that take us away from all our heart reaching out to Him? This woman is going to Jesus with all her heart. She presses through a crowd. She makes through under the feet and everything and touches. And Jesus knows. Power has gone forth. Well, today, the Lord Jesus is calling you to come to Him. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, and He says, I will give you rest. And that rest comes when the power of God touches your life. Let's pray.